EastEnders fans worldwide, welcome to Albert Square After Dark, your weekly EastEnders podcast. This week, discussing the episodes broadcast between the 18th and the 21st of March, 2024. Hello there. How are you? I hope you are tickety-boo. Joining me, as usual, is the delightful Ree. Hello, Ree. How are you this week?
I'm good, thank you, Rob. How are you doing?
Very, very well, thank you. What's new?
Well, actually, what's new? I'm going to go a bit rogue here.
Oh,
we got to 1K on YouTube.
Yeah, we did. Thank you. We love you. Yes, thank you very much.
For any audio listeners out there that may not be on YouTube right now, Rob just kissed the camera.
I just snogged you all. Thank you very, very much. I might have to look back on that and see how ugly I looked close up and maybe edit around that possibly. Who knows? But thank you very much indeed for subscribing. This is just the beginning, people. Oh, we're going to climb. Right, can we get these 2,000 subscribers, please? Cheers. Just keep clicking subscribe button. Let's get to 2,000.
We know you've only just done 1,000, but if we can get to 2,000, that'd be great. Yeah. So if you're listening, just give us a little like and subscribe.
Just click up. That'd be marvellous. Thank you very much. But basically, we aim to become the most successful YouTubers that ever lived. You know, how about that?
That would be amazing.
Within reach, I think. Within reach. What else is new with you, Ree?
I've got a new laptop.
Have you? Yes.
I'm talking to you on it right now, and I can't believe... Like, I feel like I've been living in '80s on my old laptop. It was like a brick compared to this, which is like this thin. I'm clicking things and it opens straight away.
Immediately. I know, it's great, isn't it?
What?
We both currently now have the same laptop. So we're experiencing the same sort of streamlined broadband and internet speed as anybody else. And fast forward 3 years even. Well, we're looking back at this conversation. Yeah. Look at them talking about their broadband and their speedy internet when we've got like holograms in front of us that we can just reach and touch and all that kind of thing. Technology's flying.
It is flying, isn't it? It's weird. I were actually talking the other day about how apparently, like, kids don't really skateboard as much anymore. It's all electric scooters.
Do they not skateboard?
It's electric. Well, I asked my friend's younger brother, and he reckons that it's all about electric scooters. And I was like, that's crazy.
Oh,
that is crazy, isn't it? But there you go, yeah.
Talking of crazy, we had a crazy old week of Wolford this week with some revelations and some confrontations that I don't think we were expecting. Very, very, very good. I enjoyed the... there's nothing to say there. I have to sometimes...
I thought you were just linking us into the next section.
I see. Well, yeah, I am. Seamlessly. Right. So, yes, we have much to discuss this week.
We do.
Big old moments. So let's crack on with it. In this week's...
Albert Square After Dark.
So, it might have slipped your mind with everything that happened on further in the week. Well, we began the week with George and Gloria, and I will say this now, Elaine's best episode since Harriet Thorpe came into the role, certainly, I think. I thought Elaine was amazing on Monday, didn't you?
She was really, really good. This is what we had a glimpse of the other week when she was being really good with George, didn't we? And then this week, I think she really proved that, she can be there for people.
This is what I've been waiting for with Elaine since the character returned. Like, we had a feeling that all of the sort of barmaid kind of stuff was a sort of a mask, and there was more layers to kind of chip away at, which we've kind of slowly done as the months have gone on. But I thought that she was utterly channeling Bette Lynch this week, Elaine. Like, really sort of like, it was that sort of character, you know, and Bette was always about, like, more performance and, like, you know, standing in front of the punters and putting on a performance
and
all the time.
They've even got a somewhat kind of similar look to them as well, in a way,
With a beehive.
And
then if you chip away at it, there's actually kind of quite a more soft and vulnerable woman underneath, and that's what we got a glimpse of this week.
Well, now I feel awful about taking Mick out of the Elaine Lair.
Good, so you should. Go on, do it one more time. But honestly, Harriet Thorpe's best episode by far.
I was going to say, I'm hoping that this is opening doors for us to know a bit more about her background, because we know little bits and pieces here, but now we're going to understand why she's got this mask, hopefully.
And we obviously know that she loves George. Like, that's not under any debate. Like, completely and utterly head over heels for George. Probably more than any man that she's ever met. We don't really know a huge amount about Linda's father, but you kind of get the impression that George is somebody that has completely and utterly swept her off her feet. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's very much a distraction to her, a welcome distraction from having to deal with Linda. So that's kind of like something quite interesting that I think that can be explored.
As great as she's been with George, like, should she be a bit more like this with Linda? But then
she should.
It's a hard one though with Linda, because they're all I kind of get what they're doing though as well. They're just kind of leaving her to her own devices and not pushing it too much, because at least she's still under their roof.
Yeah.
And they can keep an eye on her when she's doing it, rather than them constantly having a go at her about it or whatever, and then are going and wandering streets and doing it. At least she's doing it at home, where they can look after the kids, keep an eye on her. So I kind of understand why they're doing it as well.
Although it's not really doing that much good for Linda, is it, really?
Are they enabling it? I don't know. It's addiction, isn't it? Addiction,
what do you do,
a hard
though?
One
like,
for people.
I think,
that's what
I think
mean.
With someone in Linda's position, but with someone in Linda's position, I think that you can't help them if they don't want to help themselves. Like, that's the problem with addiction. Like, you can only help them when they're ready to be helped. Otherwise, you kind of just got to sit back and just let it happen. So
this is what I mean. At least she's under their roof and they're keeping an eye on her, and she's in, you know, she's with the family, rather than her going, right, I'm just going to go absolutely AWOL, which she has done in the past, hasn't she? When
absolutely.
I remember those moments when she were like blacking out and then coming round and she were in a hotel room with someone that she'd picked up and didn't remember. There. And
working up in a travelodge on more than one occasion. But all of this stuff with Elaine is all sort of led up to when Gloria arrives for George's birthday. Now, at first you sort of think, right, okay, so Gloria's trying to come around and sort of trying to build some bridges, and she brings around like letters from George's mum that she thinks that he'd want to read. And they're kind of, you know, George is sort of like, all right, cool, let's be civil with one another at the very least. But then Gloria starts kind of piling on the emotional guilt and saying that George actually had a fantastic childhood and that he should be grateful for the fact that he had such a good childhood when his parents apparently just abandoned him. It's all very kind of on brand for Gloria, where she's sort of thinking, where she's basically just trying to ignore all the bad stuff that led up to this point and just trying to sort of make George think about like what she personally did for him as a mother figure.
I was quite surprised that George even let Gloria come in and talk to him, because if you remember the last time he saw Gloria, he'd been saying, I never want to see you again. So I think that she should have actually respected him and given him a bit of space.
Yeah,
rather than barging in on his birthday, which, let's be honest, she pretty much did just barge in to show him all
this. And then she was there for selfish reasons, because she basically said, well, this is the first birthday I've had for years where, you know, there was a bit of a, this is ultra picky here, okay, but I noticed a little bit of an error, a blooper, as it were. Because Gloria said that she had flown over to see them in Spain. And remember back in the episode where she and Elaine were talking, she said that she hates flying, so she never went over there.
Because I actually thought when she'd said that to Elaine that she was scared of flying, that it were actually that Eddie was scared of meeting anyone that wasn't from England. That's why they'd not gone. Well, but
maybe she was lying. Maybe that's, you know, basically why. But still, that kind of stood out to me. Because the thing is, I'd watched that episode so many times because I enjoyed it so much, that episode. Yeah. So that stuck out to me. Just been ultra fussy.
No, you're right, to be fair.
But the... So the thing with Gloria doesn't end well. George ends up chucking her out and Gloria just leaves in tears. Elaine tells her to get off the pity pot. Go on, get out of the pub. Go on.
Well, do you know what I liked about that? A little subtlety that they showed Elaine sat in the kitchen waiting for him. Like, she knew that she knew he were going to kick off, but she was sitting there waiting and letting him, you know.
She went to go make a coffee. That should just fill in the time. So I need to go and deal with whatever goes on in there. Marvellous.
Yeah. And you just heard something smash and she was like, oh, yep, my cue.
And my cue. Off I go. Off to go. Ready to go.
I did enjoy as well, how... Obviously, we view Gloria as this frail elderly woman.
Yeah.
But Elaine was just like, none of that. Get off your pity pot.
She would have chucked her out by her hair if she had the opportunity. Would have chucked her down the stairs. The thing is, I still do feel a modicum of sympathy for Gloria, and I know I shouldn't. I know she's a pretty terrible woman all in all, but I do still... And we had a comment last week, because I was, you know, we were talking last week about how we've had sympathy for Gloria and how I really liked her. 21 Grams of Soul had said, the thing about liking Gloria, it's really the actress that brings her complexity. I would say Gloria is a racist, just not a blatant racist like Eddie. She did basically say to George, with everything we had to put up with you being black, why are you so ungrateful? Essentially, you know, yeah, I get it. Add that to when the reveal came that it was his biological father that was murdered. Gloria said it was me. I told him to do something about it. She knew who Eddie was. I really don't believe Gloria is not a racist or an innocent, but the actress really does do an amazing job of bringing forward Gloria's own disconnect from her racism, which, yeah.
Wow, that's a really good comment.
Sums it up pretty well. But I think it's more about the fact that if you just look at Gloria and someone who just all she wanted was children, and then she got this opportunity. And in a lot of ways, maybe she's had to do a lot of internal battling to kind of have as much love for George as she did, but she didn't care. You know, it's a tricky one. I think it's not as cut and dry as someone like Eddie, for example.
She's not... It's an awkward one, because she's not directly racist, though, is she? Like,
no.
She doesn't share these views.
Yeah.
She's almost an enabler, I think.
Yeah, that's the way of putting it. Yeah,
because she's
yeah.
not. It's you know, it's up to people how involved they want to be if they spot racism and not do anything or do something about it, because things aren't always...
Yeah, I mean, you can sort of imagine...
That would have been an awful turn of phrase that I were about to say.
You can sort of imagine Gloria and Eddie sort of sat there watching TV together, and something comes on the news about migrants or something. And Eddie kind of says some really offensive comments like, oh, drown them all or something. And Gloria just sort of nods along and just goes, yeah, and just gets on with cutting
or even doesn't, or just doesn't even nod along, just sits there just and doesn't say anything when she knows what he's saying is wrong.
Yeah, so like, you know, either challenge it or just admit that you agree with it, one or the other, you know, don't just sort of sit in the middle and just...
Yeah,
it's tricky. It really is.
And also, don't bring a black child into a house where, you know, your husband's so racist that he would go and beat someone up because of the colour of the skin.
Because you are so desperate to have a child. This is what I mean, though. This is why I find Gloria such a fascinating character. And this is why I want to stick around, because I want to just chip away at all of this and explore it and just explore the psychological makeup of this woman.
Her desperation for a child has then led to that child not living a happy life because they've been brought up in a house with somebody who's undisputably racist.
She was happy, but George wasn't happy. Her husband, the racist husband, wasn't happy.
But in her head, George was happy, or she was trying to make him believe by bringing all those photos around and going, look what a happy childhood you had.
Yeah. She's got a picture of what George's childhood was like. Just all sort of flowers and everything was fine. Yes, she had to cope with some horrible comments in the street, but she was stoic. She kind of put her head up in the air and just sort of walked past it because she was so happy. Whereas in reality, you know, those sorts of things have an effect on George and clearly have had an effect leading up to this point in his life. It's just, I love this story so much. There's so much to it.
When she said that, though, about him having a happy childhood, a part of me did think, is that because of the standards you've got on a childhood, though? Because times have changed from when she was a child. Exactly. Do you know what I mean?
Christ.
So in her head, is she like, well, you had a happy childhood because, you know, compared to how people were when I was a child, you had a very...
Yeah.
But yeah, this is why you're right, though. What a great character she is with all these complexities that we can explore. Yeah, so I hope it's not the last that we're seeing of her.
I don't think it will be. I think, you know, someone like Eddie, yes, completely and utterly has a shelf life. You know, he needs to go to prison and you know, he's scum of the earth and lock away the key and whatever. Mm. But Gloria, I think that she... It's played, but like I said last week, played by such a phenomenal actress that I want someone like that on the rostrum full time, you know? And then to have this character that has got so many different layers to them and such a complex backstory, I just want to spend my time just absolutely absorbing and watching them unpack it all. So I don't know. And I kind of quite like at this stage, this sounds very wrong, and I've got to be careful how I say this, but I kind of quite like the fact that George's real mum isn't going to be around, because that sort of leaves that... It sort of means that George can't just like toss her away and never see her again and just start up his new life with his mum. He means that he's forced to face this stuff with Gloria and they can explore.
He's only got Gloria as the mum that he's ever going to have. So, I know what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Fascinating. So happy birthday, George. I hope that was a good one. Not his best. Hey, you moved to Walford, mate. Your happy birthdays went out the window the second you moved to Walford.
You're never going to have a happy birthday.
Never going to have a happy birthday.
Ever again.
You're never going to have a happy Christmas ever again. Happy holidays. You're lucky if you have a nice pancake day in Walford, quite frankly. So good luck with that. Right, ladies and gents, let's move on to the next story. On to Priya now. She had quite a week. I think probably Priya's biggest week since she first arrived, which is exciting because we love a bit of Priya. This all sort of evolves from the fact that Avani has now started selling vapes for a tenner. Now, to be fair, some profiteering going on there. Vapes for a tenner.
I still can't get over the fact that kids vape rather than smoke cigarettes these days.
It's so weird,
honestly,
right? I was out walking the dog the other day, right? And kids were just walking home from school. And there was two kids standing on a street corner and like sort of looking down the street furtively and then sort of passing this vape to each other. Go, right, yeah, cool, see you later. And like walked off. And I was literally watching them going, oh my God, that is like the modern day version of when we were kids and we used to like have a sneaky cigarette on the corner of the road and then hope that our mum and dads hadn't seen them. That's madness, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, I can't anyway. But yeah, it is the new thing.
And then they've got the advantage of the fact that they don't have to then spray themselves like crazy because you can't smell it.
That's true. They smell like watermelon anyway, so it's all good. Yeah.
That's my new perfume. Do you like it? It's crazy, isn't it?
That's the thing.
Kids vape these days. No one smokes anymore. Vapes are the new
thing. It's so dumb because you're supposed to vape instead of smoking. It's a replacement, not something you start. Anyway.
Yeah.
So Arnie's selling them.
Arnie's selling them. Will has now started vaping. And it doesn't go well. Will doesn't take it very well.
She fancies him, doesn't she?
I think so.
Does she fancy him? Or is she just saying so he'd buy a vape?
Arnie's one of these kids that fancies anybody, really. Yeah, she gives that impression. She is her daughter's mother through and through. Let's be honest here. Because if you remember when she first started, she'll be very jealous of Priya this week, actually, because when she first arrived, if you remember, she started calling Martin a sexy daddy. So
yes, I thought that as well when Priya went on the date with him as well.
So that's all going on. Honey catches wind of this and isn't impressed. We get a lovely scene between Priya and Honey in the Vic where Priya chucks a drink in Honey's face and it's all very confrontational. A slight hypocrisy from Ravi, I thought, this week when he goes and bollocks Avani for selling drugs.
Do as I say and not as I do, isn't it?
Yeah, but acted absolutely outraged that a daughter of his could ever be associated with even selling vapes, never mind anything else.
Do you know what, though? It's crazy, isn't it? Because I just don't see vapes as being that, like...
It's mad, isn't it? Yeah.
Serious, if you know what I mean.
I know.
It's just like, but obviously they are. They're really
damaging, exactly.
I think it was just more that his tact was wrong. Maybe he could have gone in I've been down this route, okay?
Yeah, I am still on this route. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I kind of get why he went in like that as well, but I know what you're saying. It's a bit hypocritical, but parents are hypocritical, let's be honest. I'm sure I'll be telling my kid to not do stuff that I used to do as a teen.
Oh, yeah, damn right.
You know, one of the scenes I did enjoy with Priya this week, and Avani actually, was how Priya managed to get the vapes from Avani.
Yes, there was a nice moment there.
Yeah.
I like their relationship.
So do I, and I actually think it were proving that Priya can be a good parent, actually, to Avani.
Yeah, it was interesting here, was that I saw a tweet from the EastEnders team. They'd quoted something and said the words, "Oh, Priya is a great mum." And I was sort of like, I don't know, great's quite the word I'd go for to describe Priya. Is she a great mum? What do you think?
I agree with that though, to be fair.
Really?
I'm sure she's had her moments and could have gone about things in the past, maybe in different ways. But on the whole, she can get her daughter to tell her the truth about everything. And I think that's a very important quality to have as a mother. That your child does not keep secrets from you and can speak to you openly about anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's fair to say that Avani's got that relationship with Priya. So I think that she is a great mum for that.
Oh, okay.
Because also, Priya knows how to handle Avani. She knows, like she said to Ravi, you can't go in shouting her because she's not going to react well to that. You're going to get her back up, she's going to get defensive, and she's going to go back at you. Yeah. Whereas Priya went, all right, Alan Sugar, sorted your vapes out.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
are you
yeah.
selling it? You know what I mean? She knows what approach
Yeah.
works for her daughter, and I do think that that shows what a great mum she is. Although maybe she should have called Avani out on the bump of activity, which I absolutely love. How can you call your kid out for saying something as funny
You
as that,
can't.
though, to
You
be
can't,
fair?
though. If anything, you give her a reward. Then you
Yeah,
can go, oh,
honestly.
I can see someone who's going to the cinema
Yeah.
tonight. Extra
I
pocket
love
money for you,
Avani.
missus.
I know Avani gets some mixed comments online, but I think that
I
she's
really like
great.
her.
I love
I really,
her.
really
I
like
love
her. And
Avani.
yeah,
Yeah.
you're right. This week with Priya and Avani really cemented that sort of daughter-mother relationship that's going to be
Yeah.
great moving forwards. I like
Yeah.
them a lot. Priya is one of the best new characters to come along in many a year. I absolutely
Yeah, I
adore
stand
her.
by that as well. I'm a
Yeah.
massive Priya stan,
Massive
definitely.
Priya fan. So her and Martin, that's going to sort of go forward. What do we think about Priya and Martin? Do you think that they have a future together or what?
Yeah and no, I'm not sure. I'm not 100%.
Well, let me tell you one thing about Priya and Martin. Do you
Oh.
remember that I referred to Priya as maybe the future Janine? She
Yes,
told me
yes.
I get Janine vibes off Priya. Stacey and Martin, throw Priya into the mix. We've got a triangle there, so we're back in
Ooh,
the same vein as Stacey, Ryan, and Janine, and all that kind of thing.
that
Yes,
would be a
please.
good triangle,
Yes,
actually. No, I agree
please.
with that. And also, to be fair, it's nice to give Martin something away from Stacey and Kurt and Sharon. Like, it's nice to give him his own little thing as well. So yeah. But I still think I think Priya and Ravi might be a
Well,
thing, if I'm honest.
yeah, I agree. And I have to say about Stacey and Martin, a lot of Martin's actions this week, I think, were influenced by his feelings for Stacey.
Yeah, definitely.
Big time. So, Martin is back from Australia, and my goodness me, did he start some trouble in his very first 5 seconds back on the square. So, Marty comes back from Australia, and the very first thing he sees is Stacey and Jack having a kiss. Now, all of this kind of came completely out of left field, I think. I don't think anyone was really expecting this to climax quite in the way it did. I thought it was very good. I really, really enjoyed it. Really strong
I
stuff.
did, but
But
I'm gonna nitpick now. It
here
were
we
all
go.
very how do we get Jack and Stacey in the backyard on their own without anyone else in the house noticing and Martin being able to walk in?
You have a
We'll have a
barbecue.
barbecue in
Have a
March.
barbecue in March.
Barbecue in
That's what you do.
March.
Are you not
Yeah.
having barbecues in March, Ree? What's wrong with you?
No, because
Freak.
I'm in
Why not?
the UK. I'm in the UK. Even if the weather
Yeah.
forecast says there's gonna be no rain, you can't take that as the truth.
Well, I don't know about this. I feel like Martin could have walked in on anything, and a barbecue was a good way. I don't think it was necessarily to get Stacey and Jack outside. I think it was
Oh.
more about congregating the characters that were needed for the big confrontation scene.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but how could they have done that in any other way? But yeah, anyway,
Exactly.
it
Like
happened. It happened.
there wasn't any birthdays or any sort of event
It's
happening, was there? So
fine. Let's
yeah,
have a
it's
barbecue in March. No
and let's
worries.
be honest, the barbecue very quickly went out the window.
Yes.
So Denise and Jack are sort of starting to maybe try and build something up, but let's be honest, I have never seen a couple more over. Even before all this kicked off, than Denise and Jack. So I was actually really pleased how the week ended, with Denise basically saying, divorce time, sir, I think.
I was
It's.
glad with that because it really looked like she was going to go back to him, didn't it? And
Yeah.
then it was Amy who ended up saying,
Yeah. I
what would you
mean.
say if I were in this position, Denise? Come on.
Yeah. I mean, if Jack has now reached the point where even his kids are turning around to his wife and saying, yeah, you should probably break up with him.
Yeah.
Like,
Reality check.
that's how rubbish you are, right? So I mean, all of this was fantastic. I loved it because Stacey and Jack, the problem is that Stacey and Jack were apparently just about to end it. And the kiss that Martin saw was I thought we were led to assume was like some sort of goodbye kiss to their relationship or something, was it?
You're saying goodbye, so don't say goodbye with a
No,
kiss.
don't like tempt
Like, what a
yourselves.
stupid idea.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well,
I
they got
didn't
punished for that, so
that were a bit, oh God, as well, but again, quite on brand for Stacey, to be fair, to
Yeah,
go,
I mean,
oh, we're ending it, let's have a kiss then.
yeah. Oh, sorry, you were branning. You don't think you could just escape me that easily? Escape my clutches.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Martin witnesses this kiss and is just utterly furious by it. And we're very kind of quickly led down the path of he's still head over heels for Stacey. There's no two ways about it. The reason he's so angry is that he's walked in on Stacey kissing somebody else. It could have been anybody. Well, it have to be Jack. It could have been anybody.
No, I disagree. I think it is because it's Jack and another Brandon. I actually think that is why he's more angry.
But I think he would have been angry with whoever.
I think he'd have been upset if it was anyone else, but because it was Jack, he was angry.
Yeah, and because if it had been a single bloke that he'd have walked in on, you know, he wouldn't really have had much basis to stand on. But I think that because Jack is married, he was able to sort of use that as reasoning as to why he was so angry and why it all came out the way it did.
And not only is Jack married, he is also sharing a grandchild with Stacey, which also complicates everything on top of it.
Yeah. And just the way that this all sort of then dominoed into absolute chaos. It was like a house of cards just kind of collapsing to the ground. I absolutely loved it because Martin's just then basically in a mood. Kathy persuades him, look, just don't say anything, all right? If they're saying they're ending it, they're ending it, all right? Just let them be. So then Martin goes around to his barbecue and is clearly in a mood. And Chelsea's kind of like, can you stop it? Can you like sod off then if you're going to be like this? Because my mum's just had a nervous breakdown. Stop being such a... And just lays in on him. And then he kind of just pushes into the point where he just tells her what he saw.
Didn't you think Chelsea were being a bit harsh to him though?
I did think she was being a bit harsh to him. Yeah.
Whoa, all right. I know you've been stressed with stuff going on with Denise and that, but I don't quite understand why you're being this harsh to Martin.
No, but I'm glad
you laid into him. Yeah, same, because it got the result.
It got the result that I wanted. But I agree. I think Chelsea was quite harsh to him at that moment. Considering that Martin's only just walked in, he must have the most horrific jet lag because he's just come from the land of spiders. And that's another thing that don't go to Australia because you're gonna feel like crap for a week because you're losing 24 hours of your day. No reason whatsoever. Martin just tells her what he saw, and it all just kind of goes crazy from there because Chelsea storms in and accuses them. And they at first seem to sort of balance it with Denise going, yeah, no, I know about that. All right, don't worry about it, until Martin says, no, as in, I just saw them kissing out in the yard just now. And then it kind of all goes crazy. Chelsea gives Stacey a good old slap.
Oh, yeah.
Good slap. Good slap. Very good little good fight slap. Scene there. Yeah. But that's not the only fighting that goes on, because then Martin and Jack go absolutely mad at each other.
I mean, do you know what I did like there? They like kind of paused the fight. So Jack could open the door.
Just a minute.
I can't.
And go.
This needs to get on straight. Hang on.
Did you also notice that when Jack opened the door, I didn't notice this at first, but there was a clip going around when Jack opened the door, the whole set shook.
Yes, I did notice that when I was watching it. I noticed the wall next to it. Yeah,
he opened the door with such ferocity that the next door neighbors were like, "Christ alive, is there an earthquake going on? Jesus." So they start off in the living room, then they make it out into the hallway, then they pause, Jack slams the door open, and then they continue it out into the square. They're just all going mad at each other. What I did like was Amy, who, when Chelsea smacked Stacey, everybody else reacted. Jack runs and kind of pulls Chelsea off her. Stacey's obviously on the floor screaming. Lily's crying. Martin's standing there, all stunned by what he's done. Amy was sitting there with her legs crossed, just glaring at Stacey throughout the whole interchange, not caring that there was violence going on in front of her because she fully deserved it.
Well, yeah, I think Amy's very principled, isn't she? So I can imagine her thinking, well, you deserved that kind of thing. Yeah, definitely.
I almost felt sorry for Stacey, not completely, but the fact that, you know, basically now no one's talking to her. What did you think of this whole thing where she was talking about the woman getting the blame?
Yeah, I think she's doing a disservice to women, if I'm honest with that comment. Because
I would say, I mean, you know what a sexist I am, Ray. I would say that she does have a point in the sense that very often the women get the most blame in this sort of situation.
I agree with that completely.
Stacey, love, not in this scenario.
You're in the wrong. Like a victim.
Stop trying
one,
to make it out as though Jack's having it easy, because Jack's kids are talking to him. His wife just said that she wants a divorce. In what way are you getting more blame than anybody else, Stacey?
At that point, I don't think Denise had said the divorce. I don't think at that point. But,
but
I know what you're saying. I agree, because it were like she was basically, with that comment, she was implying that Jack wasn't getting any blame at all.
Nothing. It was all on her. All on her. No.
It's annoying. it's annoyed me with Stacey because she's been saying that Jack's not being accountable, but actually she's trying to convince everyone that she's not really done anything wrong because she's not the married one.
It was a bit of an odd...
who are you kidding here, Stacey?
Yeah, it was a bit of an odd thing because she said it twice, and I didn't know whether that was just Stacey being really self-righteous or whether the writers were actually trying to sort of send a message across in the writing, because she said it twice. And neither time she had a point.
No, it does happen though. Like
it does happen.
Like
completely.
We do accept that it does, and women always
100%
do end up looking like often end up looking like the worst person in these.
Look
scenarios.
At Meghan and Harry. Just saying. Let's throw that one out there and move on. You know, I don't care that the whole thing drives.
But no,
me crazy.
in this particular situation, I don't think that comment.
Stacey had no point whatsoever whatsoever. You know,
she was getting
as much shit as anybody else, as Jack was getting. But nice try, Stacey.
In fact, if anything, I actually think Jack will get any worse this week than Stacey, to be fair. Yeah. So, yeah.
You know, I mean, let us know in the comments. Whose side are you on? Yeah, lesser. There's some nice moments, you know, a lot of sort of bringing up past history about Stacey's history with Brannings, Lauren turning around to her and saying, how many times are you going to wreck my family? Which I quite liked, like, fair play.
And Penny being like, do you know what happened the last time, mate? Yeah. It's just like,
I quite like the next day where there was like some people like Jay and Honey were doing their marathon training and they just everyone's just sort of gossiping about it. Like, everyone does that, Stacey. Marvellous. So where do we go from here?
See, then you've got comments like that, which
makes me think is whether the episode was actually trying to give that message.
We didn't hear anyone say it about Jack, did we? When you put it like that, actually.
Yeah, you kind of see it. I know, yeah. But then that makes me wonder whether that was actually a message that the show was trying to send at that moment. But I just don't think... I just don't think that this situation warranted it. Because of the fact that Stacey and Jack were, A, both getting as much crap as each other. And the fact that Stacey is Stacey. You know, she brings it on herself a lot of the time, doesn't she?
It's one of those, like, you know, you say she doesn't protest too much.
Yeah.
She knows that she's in the wrong and she's just doing a Stacey thing of being defensive, when actually, I think she does know deep down.
Really, she does know deep down. Otherwise, she wouldn't have gone to
admit it and just go, I've messed up, Anna. Yeah. What am I thinking? Instead, she goes to Peggy's, doesn't she? And goes on their happy hour.
Which just suggests that she knows what she's done, but she's just too proud to admit it.
None of her family are talking to her either, though. So I guess
Jean's
what
ashamed.
Else is she going to do?
Jean's utterly
ashamed.
Although,
where are Hope and Arthur?
Oh, they're not talking to her either.
Jean's at Jade's thingy, fundraiser.
Yeah.
Lily and Charlie are at Martin's. Are Hope and Arthur there too?
Suki and Eve don't live there anymore.
Yeah, so it's not like...
No, they're not speaking to her either. They've gone to playgroup and they ain't coming home until Mummy sorts herself out.
Right, got you.
There you go. So what happens now then? Denise and Jack, they break up. That's it. Is this it now for Denise and Jack, do we think? Are they done?
Surely.
It must be.
Surely. The only logic I was thinking as to why Denise was willing to give it a go is because she's now scared that Jack's going to say something about her hitting Nish. Because I thought, is that the only reason she was willing to actually give it another go? Because that's very true. He's got this info on me. He's already saying that he's put his job on the line. How have you put your job on the line, mate?
He hasn't.
It's not like you've been questioned and put under oath and someone said, did you know that your wife attacked Nish? No, all you're doing is keeping something secret.
Yeah.
You're not putting your job on the line, really, mate.
I mean, this all kind of does unskittle the Six storyline a little bit, because Stacey has now decided that she's cutting all ties with them all as well. So, I mean, half of me sort of thinks that... So the police have stopped investigating Keanu's disappearance and nobody is looking for him. Nish hasn't got a leg to stand on with charges that he was putting against. So the police aren't really that interested in it. So maybe them kind of just going their separate ways for a little bit, at the very least, could do them all the world of good.
Yeah, might not hurt. I mean, I guess the police... I mean, it's Waterford Police. But Waterford Police. As far as they're concerned, there hasn't been a murder.
No.
Like, Nish is there, he's fine.
Yeah.
As far as they know, all right, we've got six witnesses saying that it was Keanu.
He's buggered off, so that means we don't have to deal with him. Yeah, fine, whatever.
Exactly.
I don't know. Talking of the six, we did get an update on Sharon. She has decided to stay on a little bit longer, but I can reveal that she is back filming officially, and she will be she will be back in the next couple of weeks. Will Sharon?
I think we've missed Sharon. Her. I think she's been massively. Needed actually in all
she
of
has.
This.
She has, and I think that the six have sort of. I think they've covered it all very well with like the Denise storyline and all that kind of thing. But I think it's time Sharon returns so they can actually really focus on getting the six storyline. All together and getting it sort of going in the direction that they wanted it to go in, 100%. Here we are then. Go on.
The only other thing that we've not considered: are Stacey and Jack going to start a relationship now? If he's split from Denise,
I mean, I think there is with regards to the six. Even though Denise and Stacey have both now said, "Oh, do you know what? Sod off. I'm not interested." I do wonder whether one of them is going to think actually one of us needs to kind of keep him sweet. You know, and sort of stop him investigating. So, and I can imagine Stacey going there full time.
I'll
maybe
take on that role, everyone. Yeah. Don't you worry. I'll do
even
it.
Though
I'll,
Max
I'll
is better in bed.
Team.
Even though Max is better in bed. And to be fair, we've predicted the Max return. If Stacey and Jack are an official couple when Max comes back, that's going to be nice to return to, isn't it?
Yeah, this is all screaming out for a Max return,
isn't it? Isn't it just? Max is coming back.
You called
Max will be back
ago.
By the end of this year. I'm telling you now, Max will be back by Christmas.
And Cindy and George will have an affair.
They will, by Christmas. By Christmas. There we are. Okay, final storyline of the week, ladies and gents, is Jade, Dean and Jean. On to the final story of the week now, and this is Dean, Jade and Jean. I liked this. This, again, went into directions that we weren't expecting, although less so. I would say, did you think that Jade was going to die at any point?
No.
Did you know? I did wonder. No. And I kind of wonder whether that's going to be... I still kind of wonder whether that's going to be Dean's ultimate punishment. Like, because now that the medication thing has sort... I think Jean's got an idea of what's going on, in all honesty.
Yeah, this is interesting because I didn't get that from the conversation she had with
Jean.
Oh,
did you know?
No, but I've seen loads of people say what you're saying online, but I thought that she believed him.
Yeah,
maybe she acted it really well that she believed him in that moment.
Yeah, I feel like this is one of those times where this is one of the many times where we underestimate Jean and like quite how on the ball she is, because
totally
she does do this sometimes, doesn't she? Like, Jean actually has quite a level of insight that I don't think she gets credited for enough as a person, you know.
I mean, to be fair, when she went in trying to get information out of Dean, I was like, oh, you're putting on your little bit of it's a Jean kind of thing to try and get information out of him.
Yeah.
So yeah, you could be right, definitely.
Like, she brought up the time when Shirley and Martin sort of messed with her medication, so she's sort of you know, and she's sort of walking around Dean's flat like Sherlock Holmes, going, like, what am I missing here? Where's the clue? What am I missing? Like, Detective Jean's on the case. So it's Jade's auction has arrived, and she's supposed to be giving a big old speech. And I could not quite believe that Dean did this, but he manages to get himself into the pub. Linda's upstairs pissed. So everyone's sort of like, is now one thing here, though, is the tide slowly turning in Dean's favour? Are people coming around to him a little bit?
Well, I think this was one of those occasions because it was literally just while she made a speech. That was the condition, wasn't it? You can be in just while she makes a speech and then you leave.
Yeah,
I mean, Jade looked pretty ill.
Look pretty ill.
It's more the Jade side. Because how often's Jade going to need to be in Queen Vic, really?
Yeah. But then I do wonder whether Jade is actually the one thing that's going to make Dean look anything remotely close to human. From the rest of the
perspective. Well, yeah, there is that, because Billy made a comment, didn't he? Like, he's a father to a sick kid or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly, this is how it starts. This is how it starts. He's already got let's assume a fairly successful business in the square. You know, it's still going, you know.
God
so
knows how he's rep, but...
Exactly, you know, so that's all still going. He's properly integrated in the square now, whether we like it or not. You know, and I've seen people kicking off about the fact that Dean's still around, but... I have to say, I know what he is across, and the show isn't pretending that he's anything else. It's not like they have brought him back and sort of tried to redeem him a little bit. Like, they're not doing that. They're making him as horrible and evil as he always has been, but in different ways. He is a proper villain on the show now.
Yeah.
But it's just about whether you are comfortable with a rapist being a regular character. That's the problem that I think some viewers have with it.
Yeah, I can understand that. But like you say, they're not painting him out to be this kind, misunderstood character. They're pointing him out as, you know, he's a bad person.
A rapist.
So,
he's definitely
like
a rapist.
No one's disputing that. So, well, other than Dean and Jade. But yeah, I don't mind him still being here under his current If anything, it's painting him out to be worse as well. Do you know what I mean? So,
If anything, they're giving him sort of more, sort of, maybe layers isn't the right word, but sort of like they're sort of really exploring his psychological makeup as to how he thinks he's innocent of this crime.
I'm like, is he a narcissist? Is he just, no, he's more
narcissist.
Than a narcissist. He's an actual
sociopath.
Sociopath. The fact that you would cause such harm to your own child just for your
like,
own benefit.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, that's utter psychopathy, isn't it? Like, that's another level.
But
could have killed her. Could have killed her.
Well, but then when he was explaining it to Jean and saying, they making out it was Jade who wasn't taking the meds and saying, you know, oh, she just wanted to do something that would make her sick enough to not be able to go.
Yeah.
It felt like, obviously, he was trying to project how he was feeling, like, what he'd been doing in the situation and making it out to be Jade. So do you believe that? He was genuinely thinking, I didn't think they should actually get this seriously ill from it.
The thing
she's
is,
sick
though,
enough to not be able to travel.
I think he had, like, a minute of self-reflection where he was kind of like, I can't believe I've done this. But then, so quickly, he was able to just turn it on himself, start blaming other people, and sort of act in the role of someone who had no degree of responsibility in what had happened. You know, blaming Jean, and then say, "All right, I don't blame you. These things happen. You know, like she's clearly just iller than we thought. Yeah, you know, there's the meds. All right, sure, go get the meds." You know, he's managed to just remove himself from the situation and play the character of the almost grieving father.
I think what he said to Jean maybe is believing himself.
Yeah.
You know, I was only doing it so she wouldn't be able to travel, not because I thought that it'd actually risk her life. But is he that dumb, though? I don't think he's that dumb. You know how ill she's been.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, though,
he didn't think it'd risk her life.
He's very good at sort of telling the truth to a certain degree, but then removing his own responsibility from the truth.
Yeah,
like when he was
yeah.
talking to Jean and saying, I just wanted someone around who loves me, someone who cares about me, the only person that cares about me, but then manages to kind of completely and utterly go down a different path with it and give her a different set of scenario, which sounds believable because he started painting it with the truth and then goes off in a different direction with it. So it sounds believable.
Yeah,
he's very good at what he does, you know, whether you like him or not. You know, as a villain, he's a good villain.
It's either he can think well on the spot or he has all these excuses lined up in his head just waiting for someone to figure it out. Because he'll have thought Gene's going to start trying to suss something soon.
Yeah.
So I bet he'd got it all planned what he were going to say.
Yeah, but again, he becomes so dissociated from his own actions. And again, I think that he is someone who's underestimating Gene. He didn't have Gene down as anybody would give him any problems with this situation whatsoever. He'd be able to scare Gene off. He'd be able to sort of talk Gene down and remove him from the situation. So the fact that Gene then stood up to him and said, oh, I'm not scared of you, like, that would have shocked him and thought, all right, I need to up my game here. Fair play. You know, it's...
He were even trying to manipulate Harvey, weren't he? And
that's
say,
easier
oh,
to do.
Gene's...
That's much easier to do.
Come on, Gene's being over the top Gene and trying to make out she'll be hysterical, weren't he, to Harvey?
No, I do wonder if that's the start of his next plan, to sort of remove himself from any sort of absolution from it. He's going to now make it as though Gene had something to do
Pin
with
it on
because
Gene.
She's going mad. Yeah. Because she's getting a bit close to the truth.
I'd not considered that. So what, you think he'll accuse it all of Gene?
Yeah.
No, because I think it'll come out because I think Gene will straight away, well, not straight away, but at some point, have the conversation with Jade and say, look, your dad told me this.
Yeah.
Like, is it
possibly,
true?
But
that
then
depends if she believes him or not.
Possibly, but I think that Harvey's actually, and Dean has no way of knowing this, this is more just falling in his lap, but Harvey actually, I think, is more sensitive to that sort of thing than most people is, because he's got his past history of his ex-wife who had mental health problems, and now he's kind of with Gene. Like, so I think he's a little bit more sort of sensitive to people saying, is Gene all right? You know, so he might be quite easy to manipulate and mould into that sort of role that Dean needs in order to make Gene look culpable for what happened.
Yeah, but then a part of me thinks that Harvey would see through something like that with someone like Dean and see that he's
maybe
got that past history.
Maybe
I
I'm underestimating
know.
Harvey, but I feel like Harvey's not the best judge of character in the world.
No, I mean, there are many points that would favour that argument, but yeah, I don't know.
Interesting.
It depends on whether you think Jean believed Dean. Well, Jean and Dean.
Yeah, I don't think she did. I really don't, because she sort of, I think she's given, Jean is very good at like kind of giving him sympathy up to a point, but then cutting off her emotional involvement with him. Like I don't think there's any point in any of this where Jean has been like, oh, do you know what? You're not as bad as I thought you were. Like, she is treating him as she believes he is, but then sort of, she's got more sympathy for Jade than she has Dean. Like, Dean is just an unfortunate asset to knowing Jade.
I thought that, and then he made the Jimbo comment, didn't he? And
yeah,
then I
yeah,
thought
yeah.
Jean softened because then she tried to go, right, I'll see what I can do. I'll see if you can be there for the speech. And then Linda spoke to her and Jean went, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
He's trying to manipulate me. I can see
it.
Yeah,
so she had a moment of weakness, but then speaking to Linda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Clarified things again for her. So then she went, no, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's something dark to this guy. I knew it, me gut knew it. He's trying to put wool over my eyes. Is this all leading to a Shirley return?
Well, I was wondering this because actually it would be a because we had quite a few mentions of Shirley this week and how Jean feels somewhat responsible because she's Jean because she's Shirley's best mate.
Yes.
Yeah. So sort of like I feel a bit responsible for Jade and in some ways I feel responsible for Dean's relationship with her because of my relationship with Shirley. Mm. It would be a perfect time for Shirley to return. And Chris Clenshaw has said that we haven't seen the last of Shirley.
So hopefully she's back soon.
I think so.
Is it true about Shirley's mental health condition that Dean claims?
I don't think so. I really, really don't. No, I do believe that Shirley has had it rough. No one's denying that Shirley had a rough couple of years, losing Tina and then losing Mick and, you know, all the other loss that she's had to go through in her life. So I yes, but again, I think this is going to be another element of Dean kind of painting a lie with a bit of the truth, with a hue of the truth, you know, like say that Shirley's going through some stuff. Yeah.
The truth, yeah.
He could say that Shirley's going through some stuff, but then exaggerated to the point where, oh, actually, you know, she was sectioned. Like she's not great. She's off her head on some sort of drugs because she really needs to be looked after at the moment, you know. So I wouldn't be surprised if we do see Shirley come back, and that will really shoot Dean in the foot.
I mean, a part of me thinks obviously we know that Shirley and Jean had a great relationship, the best mates and all that. So if they were that good of a friend, wouldn't Jean be in touch with her while she's under section, having been somebody who's gone through
you'd
all
think,
that?
You'd think so.
This
yeah,
is why I'm wondering what's the truth in that. Why is Jean not trying to get in touch with Shirley somehow?
Yeah.
Or at least saying, you know what, I can't bother Shirley with this right now because I know what state she's in because I've spoken to her or something like that. So whether that's true, I'm not sure.
I think Shirley is going to be back again before the end of the year. I think it was the perfect time for her to come back at the moment, I think.
And she's on Facebook because that's how Linda saw Shirley post a picture of Dean in the first place like a year ago. So
yeah, so then she
surely
wasn't
Jean
in
can
hospital.
Get in touch with her somehow.
Yeah. There's something going on. So, but then this also leads me to the question of what Dean's ultimate punishment is going to be, because all villains get a punishment at some point. And when you are a rapist, you do have a shelf life. No matter how long that shelf might be, you do have a point where your storyline has to end.
Yeah.
Now, I do not think that they can give Shirley another death to deal with. I think that would be too much for one character.
Well, we said that about Karen.
It.
We said that about Karen.
That's
What
true.
Happened to Keanu?
Well, she doesn't know about that yet, though, to be fair. She doesn't know yet.
As long as they don't know.
As long as they don't know, that's fine.
Well, in that case, maybe Dean will
kill off Dean.
Anniversary next year.
Yeah, they can kill off Dean. Just bury him next to Keanu in the calf, and then it all will be fine.
And just don't let Shirley find out.
Don't let Shirley know. Let her recover. And then for the 50th anniversary, they can just uncover this graveyard of men that have been wronged the women of Walford. A train will come flying off the viaduct, crash into the calf,
and steal
all
on,
these bodies.
Hang on, that were a different cert, Rob, where that's happened before.
I've always wanted a train to go flying off that bridge in EastEnders.
It'd be more fitting in EastEnders because we've
it
always
would.
Had that bridge there, haven't
yeah.
we?
Yeah, and we've always constantly heard the trains in EastEnders.
Yeah.
Do you remember when Corrie did that tram crash? Only about 2 months before the tram crash, they started playing noises at the tram.
Yeah, I remember.
They've done it since, to be fair to them, but they it was only. But then EastEnders has always had that kind of overlaying sound of the trains going across. I've always wanted a train to come flying off that bridge. Maybe one day.
God, you wish for the most unusual things, Rob.
There you go. I'm a complex guy. So Gold Star this week, Rhea, I think is difficult because there was a lot of really good character stuff this week. What do you reckon?
I'm going to give it to Jean for persistence with Dean and Jade and helping look after Jade.
It almost went to Priya, but I have a feeling that I'm going to have a lot of weeks where I give a gold star to Priya.
Yeah.
I'm going to give mine to Elaine because I absolutely loved that scene with her. And it was a scene that I wanted from Elaine for a long, long time now. And we finally got it. So there we are then. So who was yours to? Jean.
Jean
and Elaine for our gold stars this week. Who did you give yours to? Let us know in the comment section below. And talking of the comments, let's go now to comments from you guys. No caption contest this week. We went through it and couldn't really find anything that was massively worthy. We don't want to force it. Don't want to, you know, we want it to be good captions and all that kind of thing. So there was none this week. But your comments this week, Ree, what's our first one?
I've got one from Instagram from Rachel Alice June, who says, I don't think Jean believes him. This is about Dean. Mm. Will she call Shirley? Because I feel like her return is inevitable. Just like Cindy and George's affair, right, Rob? Wink.
Yes, yes. Absolutely and utterly inevitable. Yes. Any day now. Any day.
I think that's pretty much what we said, isn't it? It does feel like Shirley's return would be a good time now.
So.
And
I think so.
Interesting that she says, yeah, she doesn't think Jean believes him, because I totally thought that she did. So yeah, I think I underestimated Jean.
I think this is the thing with Jean. Like, because she's so sort of dotty sometimes, I think you sort of underestimate how on the ball she can be.
She uses it to her advantage, though, her personality traits, doesn't she?
100%. She sort of goes in there all light and fluffy, like, oh, well, are you a murderer? No, I didn't think you were, but are you a murderer? That's how Jean solves cases. Mm. There is a spin-off to be made of Jean being a detective going around the world with her dotty personality and solving ancient old mysteries. Oh, yeah.
Agreed. That'd be a good spin-off.
Exactly. Sylvie Descherez, hope I said that right. Apologies if not. I somehow suspect I haven't. Sylvia Descherez says, oh my God, just when you think that maybe, just maybe, there is some humanity in Dean, he lies and does something like use his own daughter as an excuse. Great writing. They nailed the manipulative mind of the character. Great episode overall. See, this is the thing with Dean. I think they're writing him really, really well. Mm-hmm. I know some viewers have sort of been like, he's a rapist. That's all I have to say about him. Get him off my screen. And I get that, but then you sort of also think that the villains over the course of EastEnders have committed some horrific crimes and they've been kept around for ages. Like, he's just in sort of in that almany, isn't he?
I agree.
If they write him as well as this, I can't complain about it, you know.
At first I thought that, because there was one point where me and you, we both were like, hang on, are they trying to make us like Dean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they've turned that right back around. So
I feel like I understand what they're doing with him now. Like, they're just turning him into making him into a mustache twiddling villain. They're actually giving him like reasons as to why he's acting the way he is, which kind of makes him a more well-rounded villain, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that.
There you go.
Got one from our YouTube from last week from Natasha Kingston, who says, can anyone explain to me why Gloria is not in the dock with Eddie? She basically told Eddie to get rid of George. George is by her dad by any means possible. She should have definitely been charged with aiding and abetting an offender. Eddie told her exactly what he did. She's just as guilty as Eddie, in my honest opinion.
She is, morally, but legally, try and prove that. Would be my thinking.
Yeah, you're right, legally try and prove it. However, if they did really dig into it and go, wait, hang on a second, the person who got murdered was actually the kid who you adopted's biological father, surely they could link something to Gloria.
It may well be that Gloria's ultimate end is that she does that and confesses. I can maybe see that happening. But I think the problem illegally is trying to prove that, and also the fact, simply put, Walford Police, you know, try and work that out.
Is it Walford Police on this one?
I don't know.
The Met Police generally, I would have thought, on this
maybe.
One,
yeah, you could be right. And then Matt Cherry has said, don't you just love it when a flat-out classic episode drops out of thin air? Not on Christmas, not on an anniversary, but on a random Tuesday. A real showcase for Chelsea. It's overdue and well-deserved. Her character has truly developed since her return, going from being incredibly self-centred to a strong, devoted protector of her family. I've always loved Stacey as a character, but frankly, Martin summed her up perfectly. She really is a mess and has yet to learn her lesson, no matter how many Brannings she goes through. And it's, pretty much spot on, I think. Yeah, it was a really great showing for Chelsea. I do hear tell that Chelsea has a big storyline coming up soon.
Yes, I've heard rumours.
And about time as well, because Zara is fantastic. So I'm very excited to sort of see how that plays out. And she's had a quiet few months as Chelsea. So
definitely, yeah. We need to see more of Chelsea.
Yeah, absolutely time. Yeah.
Agreed.
There we are then. So that's it for another week, done and dusted. Thank you very much for watching. Thank you very much for listening. If you would like to get in touch with us, you can do the following.
You can find us on Facebook at Albert Square After Dark, on Twitter and Instagram at E20 After Dark. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to like and subscribe. You can listen to us on Apple and all your favourite podcast sites. Drop us an email at e20afterdarkpodcast@gmail.com. And if you'd like to buy us a coffee, you can do so by going on buymeacoffee.com/ E20 After Dark. Talking about buymeacoffee.com, we had a very kind person, Rob, who bought us 10 coffees and left us a lovely comment.
Thanks.
He said, "Hi, Rhi and Rob. I wanted to take a moment to express my deepest gratitude for everything you do. Your podcast brings such joy into my life, and I eagerly anticipate each new episode every week. I've been a loyal listener since the beginning, eagerly tuning into E20 After Dark, Albert Square After Dark, from its very inception. Your insightful discussions and engaging summaries of all the latest happenings in EastEnders never fail to brighten my day and enrich my week. Thank you both immensely for the effort and passion you pour into your work. I eagerly await each new episode and look forward to the many more to come in the future. Warm regards, Mo."
Aww, what a very lovely nice comment. Thank you, Mo.
Happy with that.
And to be fair, I think we only just realised that you can leave comments. So we looked through the comments and there's some really lovely ones on there. So thank you so much, everybody.
Yeah, thank you.
So there we are. Thank you very much indeed. We should be back next week. Until then, it is goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
Bye.